relaxed. I'm very laid back, yes.
Well, no, unlike you.
That's not it at all. I'm doing fantastic, Jaquil.
You know,
Merzing.
I was just thinking, as the light was filtering in from the window and shining on your beard, that I don't think the brushing it made it that less curly.
Okay,
there's some curls going on right
we're
now.
Talking about, you want to talk about my beard?
Sure.
You don't want to get started on this. I mean, this is going to take up the whole episode.
I mean, well, I'm sure the listeners are dying to know, because you really, I mean, I can't believe we haven't talked about this
yet.
That you
know.
Made some drastic changes to your beard in the last few months. Okay. They are drastic.
No. Okay, drastic is something that happens like in an instant. This has taken a long time.
No, it can be long form. Drastic?
No. What? Long-form drastic?
I'm just making up phrases that make sense.
My drastic changes were that I stopped shaving for the last 6 months.
Well, say you meet someone. Drastic isn't referring to time. It's referring to, like, how much.
Okay.
Like, degree.
But it doesn't seem drastic. It can't seem drastic to you because you've watched it grow and blossom over the last several months.
But someone who hasn't seen you for six months.
Drastic.
That would be drastic.
Yeah,
and
drastic.
Our listeners, you know.
Like, I saw Hank on Saturday, and
exactly.
I only see Hank every, you know, last time I saw him was like a year ago, and it was like, whoa, you know, yeah, sure, that's drastic. But you don't get to use drastic.
Let's pivot to another important discussion. How many people do you know named Hank?
Only
days?
One.
Yeah.
Only one. It's a very cool name, Hank.
It's funny. There's not that many people named Hank. I only know, obviously, the one person that you know, of course. Why would I know any other Hanks? But I do know there was a popular children's novel series about Hank the dog. He was some kind of, like, police. He was a special dog.
Hank the dog.
But not that many Hanks around.
No. Back to my magnificent beard.
Okay.
That's really what this is about. I think we need to spend a significant amount of time talking about my beard because it is truly glorious.
Okay.
No, Jaquil. Come on now. I got a little bit of curl going on the bottom, but hey, that's just natural. That's what happens, Jaquil.
It's a pretty big beard now.
It's what happens with
that.
The beard. I think somebody on Sunday said I'm getting that real prophet look.
Oh, okay.
You know? And then I put
and
my
that's
glasses
the look
on.
You're going for.
I put
okay.
my glasses on to go for the scholarly look, and they were like, oh, no, not the glasses with the beard. I don't know.
But it just didn't matter. Like.
I don't know. I mean, people seem to like the beard. There's kind of a mixed opinion at the church.
There is.
Most people seem to like it.
Well, we have a lot of guys with beards at the church, so we're a very beard friendly church.
In other words, we have a lot of guys at our church.
We have a very beard friendly church. I would never be that savage.
I definitely would. Carry on.
We all know.
Yep.
I mean, all of our elders have beards. So
yeah. No. No, Jaquil.
Oh.
One of our elders is sadly beardless.
Oh, that's right.
One of our elders had a very formidable beard growing in the summer, and
that's true.
He decided to shave it, and I am deeply disturbed.
And, I mean, his wife wanted him to. So.
Okay, but...
Even though it makes no difference in your relationship.
So does the other elder. His wife wanted him to shave, too,
really?
And he shaved. Well, she wants it to be trimmed.
Okay.
And, you know, Mom wants mine to be trimmed, and I'm like, well... Sorry, you know. I mean, a guy's got to do.
Okay.
You know what was it? What was it that Travis once said? It was something like it was very quotable. It was like if a man can grow a beard, he should or something like that. But it was more like blunt and to the point, which is why I liked it.
Right, naturally.
But no, you know, I think the beard is a very honorable thing, very manly thing, mm-hmm. a very scriptural thing, as Charles Spurgeon would say. But you know, hey, what am I going to say? It's
I mean,
amazing.
Apparently a lot. You can say a lot about your beard.
I can. Well, okay. You did hear about my situation at the security at what airport was that? The Florida airport. You did hear about that, didn't you?
I don't know.
You didn't hear about. You must have heard about this.
Just
it was
remind
an
me.
It was an amazing scenario. So
he complimented your beard.
Hold on, Jaquil. You just killed the whole thing.
Sorry. He insulted your beard. I'll just keep asking questions.
It was not a pleasant travel day.
Yeah.
So we had to stand at the lineup to get our to check our bags for like an hour and a half, and then it was a big lineup at security and a big lineup at customs and the whole thing. It was just crazy. And then of course I get chosen for a random pat down.
There are some quotes around there.
Air quotes going on there because I'm always selected for a random search, and this was a pat down. And so he's doing the pat down, which I mean, as you can well imagine, it's not incredibly comfortable.
No, it's not.
And I'm thinking, man, this has just been a cruddy travel day so far. And I'm just about to, be done and turn and go and get my stuff. And he says, "Hey, by the way, nice beard." I was like, wow. Okay, you just redeemed this entire travel experience. Because, you know, I don't know. I would love to know from other guys with beards. It feels good when people compliment your beard.
Okay.
You know, there's just something. I mean, I can't change my hairstyle, Jacquel.
Right. I mean, women understand when somebody compliments their hair, that feels really nice. Because you put a lot of work into that.
Yeah, no, I don't put in that much work.
I mean, you put in a decent amount of work.
Okay, let's talk about time. How much time did you spend getting ready this morning and doing your hair?
Doing my hair. See, my hair is kind of the one thing I pretty much never care about. I probably spent about 3 minutes on my hair this morning.
Really? Okay, that's more than me. I spent like 30 seconds.
I know.
That's not a considerable amount of time. 30 seconds. I put some beard balm in there and I brushed it down.
Okay.
Okay? That's it. That's no blow bad. Dry. No crimping. No no styling.
No straightening, which you just told me there are
beard straighteners. You can buy a beard straightener. Yeah, you definitely can.
You know what? That is so interesting to me because I have seen guys.
Okay, hold on a minute. That is so interesting to you?
It is really interesting to me because I've seen guys with long beards that are impeccably straight. And I've always just assumed that it must grow like that. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe they use a beard straightener.
No, generally, I mean, at this stage, it curls. Yeah. And then hopefully as it gets some more length, it will straighten. Note.
That's wild.
That's generally what happens. Now, let's get on to a more important subject, related.
Yes.
Definitely related. So your husband.
Yes.
He has a beard, right?
He has a great beard.
Well, it's a reasonable beard. I like his beard. For sure. Like, he keeps it trimmed.
Yes.
Right? Like, where's that going? Like, is there a chance of things changing in that department?
I don't think too much.
No? I mean, maybe the feeling that he might like to have a real significant beard.
Hey, your words are very hurtful, like little daggers.
Listen, he has a solid beard. I'm giving you that solid, no patchy spots. It's solid.
It's a good beard.
But the length. I mean, that's really what I want to discuss here, the length. Like, is there any chance of the length?
I mean, the length, it may get a little bit longer, but it probably will not reach your auspicious heights.
Because, like, I heard somebody say, who told me that, like, Joe wished that he could have a big gray beard. Oh. And then I thought, he wants to be just like his father-in-law. I mean,
he just wants to be old.
I
just realized I insulted you. I didn't mean to.
That was a sick burn. That was a sick burn.
Oh, that's the best when I don't even realize I'm burning you, and then I do.
That was good. So he just wants to be old. It's not that he wants like a serious manly beard.
No, I don't think
so. He just wants his little curly beard. No, I take that back.
Wow, the daggers of hurtfulness.
I take it back. Okay, solid beard. You picked a man with a solid beard. Thank you. I commend you on that.
That was obviously number one.
I mean, there's other things that are good about him too, but the beard is solid.
But mostly just the beard.
The beard is solid. I mean, like, you know, there you go.
I know.
So that was a fun conversation. How's your food game been lately?
Food game's been, I don't know.
I heard you brought the dairy back.
Yes. Why? I feel very uncomfortable.
It sounded like, you know, you're at a basketball game and your team's been away on a road series of games, and then it's like, let's bring the team back.
Okay.
You're bringing the dairy back.
I don't think so. I don't really think you understand that experience.
This is the sports analogy. You don't think I know the sports analogies, Jacquel? I know all about sportsing. The one sportsing team sports against the other sportsing team, and then they get a bunch of points. And
sports in Canada right now.
Sporting
because
in Canada?
In the big NBA world, what? In the basketball world, the
New
Toronto,
Brunswick Bible Association? No. What? The NBA? What is the NBA?
Oh my goodness, that was so bad. That was so awful.
What?
Anyways, the Toronto Raptors are in the NBA Finals.
Oh, more importantly, Jacquel.
Championship singular.
The Gettys are coming to New Brunswick.
No way.
Yeah, wait. When? Get this, okay?
I'm going to get it.
Jacquel, get this.
What?
They're doing a concert at NBBI.
Whoa.
I know, right?
Okay.
New Brunswick Bible Institute.
I'm serious,
Jacquel.
When?
New Brunswick Bible Basketball
Industries. I don't care.
Industries.
I don't know.
What? I just saw it this morning.
How do you not know?
I'm not going. I like the Gettys and all, but I ain't going up to New Brunswick to NBBI.
How far away is NBBI?
I don't know, too far.
Okay.
I don't know. It's like maybe 5 hours. I don't know, four hours.
That is kind of far.
822 hours. It's a while
Something
away.
Something like that.
Yeah, anyway. So back to the NBBA or the NBI. What are we talking about? Basketball.
Basketball.
What were you saying about basketball? I totally blanked out when you were talking about sportsing.
The one Canadian team in the NBA made it to the championship and is in the final. The finals.
And that's exciting?
Yes.
Oh, okay. What about them hockey guys? They're playing too, aren't they?
Oh, I don't know anything.
Aren't you excited?
St. Louis, Boston.
Boston's going to win or something, Mom said. Mom loves those Bostons.
Yeah.
She loves those guys. No, she hates Jacquel. Pay attention. Mom hates Boston.
Oh, I didn't know.
It's all because of Brad Marchand.
Why does?
Oh, yeah, she does not like Brad Marchand.
From Nova Scotia.
I know, but he's kind of a goof.
Oh.
When it comes to the hockey playing, and one time he licked another player
that's
in the
weird.
Face.
Yeah,
so she's not
good.
She's not a fan of the Bostons. She wants the St. Louis guys. What is their team called? The Blues.
The Blues. Yeah.
Oh, that's sad. They got the Blues. I don't have the Blues. I'm feeling fantastic, Jaquel. I don't have the Blues at all because we're here to talk about prayer. Come on, that was the best transition ever.
Oh my goodness, that was so cheesy.
That was the best. I don't have the blues because we're here to talk about prayer.
Okay,
come on.
Let's just move on from that.
We're talking about prayer.
Are we talking about prayer?
Yes, prayer, Jaquel. No, we've already done that.
We're not doing a
prayer.
We're
not talking about
prayer
again. We can't talk about prayer twice.
No, definitely not. It's not like it's a big enough or important enough subject.
What are we going to do then? Prayer. What? Prayer.
What? Prayer. What prayer?
Prayer.
What?
Okay, Jaquel, I just need to say that prayer is a crazy thing.
It is a crazy
thing.
It's
crazy.
It is.
Like, whoa, I can't even believe it. Like, I'm here talking to you, and that's, like, no big deal. You're just like you.
Right.
Right?
I'm just a nobody.
It's exciting because I hardly ever talk to you anymore because you never come and visit your bubs.
I know,
because
I've abandoned you.
It's, like, it's very sad.
Yeah.
You know who doesn't abandon you? I can't do it. I can't carry that
awful.
Out. That was too bad. No, it was terrible. I can't go there. Okay, so we're talking about the Lord's Prayer.
Yes.
Like, in particular, the Lord's Prayer. I don't even... I mean, we did a prayer episode.
Way back when. Like, it was like episode 17 or something.
I assume we referenced and talked about the Lord's Prayer in there. I don't know.
We did. I think we did, but it's not like we talked about it too much because I think we talked more about, like... different aspects practically.
You mean
praying.
You didn't go back and listen to episode? What episode was it?
I don't know. I think maybe I thought 17, but
I thought it was like 20 something. Maybe one of our listeners can go back, listen to that episode, and let us know what we said about the Lord's Prayer. Then they can listen to this episode and see if we contradicted ourselves or if we basically said the same things. Or if we said nothing. I don't know. We talked about it, but.
Anyways,
never mind.
Way too long. It's never
too long. Jaquel, you know, this is like the only time in the week I get to talk to you. So however long I can keep you on the other side of this table, I'm going to do it, okay?
I know.
Okay?
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
What is the deal with that?
I know. Here's the problem with me. I can't roll my R's. So it just comes out like, okay.
What do you mean? I never taught you to roll your R's. Okay.
No, I can't. Joe was trying to teach me and it still failed. He was just like,
stick
your tongue at the top of your mouth.
I think Travis actually played me a recording of Joe doing
Yeah, because I told Travis that I couldn't roll my R's. And so Travis was like, get Joe to do it. And so I got Joe to say it.
Try it again. Jaquel.
You
gotta do it slowly.
I can't run. I promise that I just can't roll my R's, okay?
Wow. I never knew.
I put on a very impressive, confident front, but even I have weaknesses, Dad. I can't roll my R's.
I don't even get that. That is the stupidest thing I have ever heard in my whole life.
So apparently, I didn't even know this, but it started with the Kardashians, as all great trends do in life.
Don't get me started.
And then it just became an internet thing.
One of them Kardashians, no, that wasn't a Kardashian. Who was it? Paris Hilton was on this documentary Mom and I were watching last night on Hello Kitty.
Mm.
Paris Hilton. She reminds me of the Kardashians. It's just like, come on, people.
But, you know, the Kardashians, here's the thing, though. Those people are way more brilliant than people give them credit for.
They have
built these empires that are just so successful. And so much of it, I have a weird hot take on the Kardashians.
Yeah.
So much of it is built off of this idea that they're not smart. And it's, like, so interesting
to me.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
That they're, like, known for, like, their bodies and clothes and stuff they make and these lines of products they have. And it takes, like, serious business savvy to build what they have built.
Well, I mean, they've totally branded themselves.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, and like you say, people think that they're this, that, and the other thing. It's like, no, that's how they've branded themselves.
And they're so interesting to me because they're some of the first people that have been, that are, like, labeled as, like, quote unquote influencers. So that just started making money, not because they were famous for doing anything like successful, just for being themselves.
Yeah.
It's weird.
No comment.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving from the Kardashians to the Lord's Prayer.
A seamless transition.
A sentence you will never hear again in the history of your life. Moving from the Kardashians to the Lord's Prayer. Let's talk the Lord's Prayer. Okay?
Yes, let's do it.
So, Jaquel, what is the Lord's Prayer? Okay, first question. Why is it called the Lord's Prayer? Lord's is possessive, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, why is it called the Lord's Prayer, Jaquel?
Well, it's interesting.
Just a minute. Oh, sorry. I cut you off. Carry on. Yeah. Go.
Bubby.
Go.
It's interesting. Everything's very interesting today.
Yeah. Well, you're with me, so life is just interesting.
Because, okay, that's one way to look at it.
Yeah, it is. The right way.
People hear the Lord's Prayer, and they think that it's like a special prayer of Jesus, which...
Oh, they do?
Yeah, they do, because it's called the Lord's Prayer.
But, right, which that sounds reasonable.
But it's that's a little confusing, because this is a prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray.
But Jaquel, I'm looking at my Bible right now, yes. And in the inerrant word of God, above this paragraph, it says the Lord's Prayer.
Okay, that's fine.
So, I mean, that's the inerrant word of God, isn't
it? It's not.
What? What?
I'm pretty sure you have a rant about that in one of our Bible episodes.
You're saying that the headings above the paragraphs weren't inspired by God?
Yes.
Okay.
Which you know, since you've like whited some
they're,
out.
They're helpful though. Okay,
it's not much of a rebel.
But it is. So I mean, you know what I'm getting at here. You've heard me rant about this. It should probably be called the Disciples' Prayer.
Yeah.
But I'm okay calling it the Lord's Prayer. Why? Because it was the Lord who gave it.
Said it.
Right. So I think that's just something. I mean, these things matter.
They matter. Words matter.
Sure they do. So this is a prayer that Jesus was telling in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount, a much more significant sermon, a massive sermon with tons of subjects, tons of topics on tons of things concerning what it means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. And surely prayer is an important subject. That's an important subject in the life of any Christian. And so he told his disciples how to pray.
Which is such a gift of mercy that it's just like... Prayer, sometimes as a sinful human beings, we just mess everything up. And Jesus is literally like, here's how to pray. Pray like this.
Which is also interesting because, as you know, like we are going through the New City Catechism at our church. And one of the questions is, what is prayer? And the answer is taken from... I forget which psalm it is, but it's from a psalm where David talks about pouring out his heart to God.
Mm-hmm.
And so the answer, what is prayer? Prayer is pouring out your heart to God. Now, so what is that? I mean, we talked about that. And it's just basically, you know, sharing everything that's on your heart with God, your desires, your thoughts, your feelings, everything, right? But then if that's all the instruction you get about prayer... Right? That's going to be troublesome. And so here, what he provides for us is a much more specific pattern for how to pray. Now, do you want to pray this? Sure. In Luke's gospel, he actually says, pray this.
Yeah.
But in Matthew's gospel, he says, pray like this, right? So the point is that this provides us a pattern for prayer, and it helps us and instructs us concerning how to pour out our hearts to God. And also, like, don't get me wrong, we're not knocking actually praying the Lord's Prayer. That's an excellent thing to do. So we're just going to go through the Lord's Prayer. Basically, I see three sections in the Lord's Prayer. We see who we should pray to. We see what the priority of our prayer should be. And then we see what do we pray for ourselves? Because, I think that's where we get into trouble.
Yeah.
I think when we jump into prayer, immediately we start asking for things, you know, petition. And surely petition is to be a part of our prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But we kind of just seem to jump into that. And also, like, I really do think how we address God sets the tone for our prayer.
Oh, for sure. And it influences what we pray about ourselves.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So it starts with Our Father in Heaven. What do you have to say about that, Jaquel?
Well... I think it's interesting. Did you know that? It's interesting.
Everything's interesting. It's definitely interesting.
That, you know, Jesus addresses the prayer to the Father, not the Spirit.
And he's telling the disciples to pray this way.
He's telling them all about it. To pray that way. And I think that reminds us of our adoption and God's love and care for us. Because when you think about the specific relationship of God as Father, like that implies the parental relationship. God is the perfect parent that Jesus didn't say pray to our King, our in heaven, our our Lord. He says our Father, and that denotes a special relationship.
Which those two terms Jaquel just used are entirely appropriate,
of course,
appropriate terms to use for God. You know, please feel free to pray, you know, to God your King or to the Lord. I mean, that's entirely appropriate. But you're right. The issue of him saying, you know, pray to the Father. When we say our Father, first of all, it reminds us that we're not on our own.
Yes, it's
right?
Not like my Father.
No, it's our Father. And then second, I mean, what a great thing to set the tone for your prayer, reminding yourself himself as you address God, mm-hmm. that God is a father who loves his children and will never forsake his children. Right. So, I mean, like, he's got your best interest at mind.
Yeah.
Like, what a great start to your prayer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's that, but there's also the issue that when it says our Father who art in heaven.
Yeah.
Like, that's an interesting thing. Like, for a lot of my years, I always just thought, oh, well, that's where, you know, the Lord hangs out. It's mm-hmm. like, I would say, you know, I'd write a letter to Sean who lives in Halifax, mm-hmm. right? But no, this is something much more significant about that, because when it talks about God being in the heavens, and I mean, I'm thinking of a few passages in particular, Psalm 115, 135, our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. Mm-hmm. I mean, the point is that heaven is where God is ruling and reigning over all. Like, God is everywhere, right? Yeah. He's omnipresent, so he is everywhere. But heaven is his special domain from where he is ruling and reigning overall. Mm-hmm. So when we come to God in prayer, yeah, we definitely need to remember that he's a God of love and that he cares for his own. But we've also got to remember that he is the King mm-hmm. of kings and he is sovereign overall. Like, those are two doctrines that really should set the tone for every prayer.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's so profound how Jesus pairs them, how he says our Father in heaven. So, like, with the image of Father, you mm-hmm. have this very, this presence of nearness, of love and care, and just, like, someone who is there for you. But at the same time, adding the in heaven mm-hmm. just adds, you know, this is not just any mortal mere father. This is the right. sovereign one, the ruler of all.
Yeah, it's translated into so often so many people. And I use this from time to time. We say our heavenly father.
Yeah.
Right. You're essentially saying the exact same right. thing. It's just another way of saying that. So that's very good. Now, let me ask you a question. I don't know that you and I have actually discussed this.
Oh, I think we have. Probably not on the pod, but we've definitely
discussed. I'm not sure I know what your opinion is right now. I assume I have a pretty good idea. But Jaquel, let me ask you, do you ever address the Spirit or the Son in your prayers?
Pretty much no.
Pretty much no. Okay. So you want to say more about why, besides the fact that that's the way I see things?
Well,
which I'm not saying you hold to it because I do. I'm just saying, obviously, I had a huge part in teaching you. That's
yes. All. Well, I think the way that you taught it was pretty compelling, that when we look usually at the pattern of Scripture, what we mm-hmm. see in the prayers is an address to the Father, and then you kind of talk about it, praying to the Father by the power of the Spirit through the Son.
Yeah, like more of a Trinitarian model.
Yeah.
No, I mean, surely if you read the Puritans, I don't know how many of our listeners read the Puritans. I know some do.
I hope they do.
But if you read the Puritans, or in particular, if you have the Valley of Vision.
Well, that's the only kind of caveat I was going to make.
Okay.
Is that would be pretty much the only time that I would. But just to say for people who don't know, so they do include prayers, or sometimes even within one prayer, mm-hmm. they'll make a specific address to the Spirit or to the Son. And so sometimes I don't actually pray those words exactly. So, for example, if it's a prayer that's addressed to the Father and I want to pray this prayer, and then partway through it shifts and it talks about, like, maybe says specifically, Jesus, thank you for coming. I will pray still to the Father and say, thank you for sending Jesus.
Yeah.
Because the biggest thing is I do not want to be confused and I don't want to confuse the roles of the Trinity when I'm praying. Like, this is a kind of a sacred thing. And I also sometimes the mental shift when you're praying to a different person in the Trinity, like you can't just think the exact same way. Like, even though this is one God, three persons distinct. Mm-hmm. And so you do have to pay attention to who you're praying to.
Yeah, preach, girl. I mean, no question. What Jaquel's getting at is you never want to thank the Father for dying on the cross for you.
Right.
The Father did not die on the cross. You never want to thank the Father for, you know, becoming a man.
Yeah.
You know, you never want to thank, I mean, you want to keep the members, the persons of the Trinity in you know, distinct, like Jaquel said, distinct. And so I guess, I mean, kind of where I stand, I don't think I've gone as far as you. Like, when I've prayed prayers in other words, my point is I have prayed prayers.
I have too. Where, I'm just saying I don't always do
where I have, but I generally don't. I mean, unless I'm going through through you know, a prayer from the Valley of Vision.
Yeah.
But it's entirely appropriate. Like, I don't think there's anything. I mean, we have at least one elder in our church mm-hmm. who does pray from time to time like that, and I have no problem with it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think at all we should have any concern with that, because it protects the doctrine of the Trinity.
Right.
You know, so that's definitely true. But I do think that, that you know, probably in general, we should seek to pray to the Father because, here again, the Lord's Prayer. This is to be a pattern for how we pray. So first of all, we've got who we pray to. And the emphasis Jekyll and I want to make here is that it reminds us that God loves his children and he is sovereign over all. Mm-hmm. That's two things. So that's who prayer is. But then we get right into the priority of prayer. So after it says, Our Father in heaven, then it says, Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that tells us right away that the priority for prayer needs to be focused on God.
Yes.
That's where we need to start, which is unusual, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, so often we start with, you know, get, like I said earlier, we get right into the things that we want to ask for. But no, the first thing we find is that the focus is on God. And I kind of like how the CSB, actually, I don't even know how the CSB translates it, but how the HCSB translates it. They say, your name be honored as holy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the CSB says that too.
Because we don't walk around going, you know, that's hallowed or that's hallowed. Right. What does the word hallowed mean?
But yeah.
it means we want God's name to be honored as holy. And I mean, what that does is it reminds us that prayer is an act of worship.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you can talk to God just like you would talk to anyone in one respect, but in another respect, you can't. Mm-hmm. You can't talk to God just like you're talking to God. Yeah. And so it's got to start with your desire for him to be honored and glorified as the only one who's worthy of worship.
Yeah, and I think that's so important, especially connected to our definition that prayer is pouring out your heart to God. Mm-hmm. And yes, it is, you know, telling him what you're thinking and feeling and processing, but it's not doing it in a way that you would kind of like vent to your best friend. You just kind of like word vomit it all out without even considering, you know, that you're talking to the Holy King of the universe. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of like a little sneak peek for next week.
Okay.
But we've been studying the Psalms in Wednesday Night Bible Study. And that's something that I've really noticed. You have, whether it's David or another psalmist who does pour out his heart to God in these prayers that are just very authentic and can be kind of like all over the place. But they are all rooted in worshiping God for who he is. So many of these prayers, even though if the psalmist might be expressing despair or confusion or anger or all these things, he's still reflecting on who God is and what he's done. And I think that makes perfect sense with the way that Jesus calls us to pray.
Yeah. And then the second thing is after, you know, focusing on the name of God, which I mean, when the scripture talks about the name of God, it's talking about who God is, everything. It's not just how we refer to him. Your name be honored as holy is to say we want God and everything that he is to be honored as holy. So we want him to be honored and glorified in the whole earth and in our lives. But then it says for the second thing is that for God's will be done, your will be done, right? And it's interesting because so often we wrestle over what the term at the end of our prayer means in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, because we're told to pray in Jesus' name. But I would say that it means the exact same thing as how we start the Lord's Prayer. Hmm. Your will be done.
Yeah.
Right? Because ultimately, when we say in Jesus' name, we are submitting all our prayers to the name of Jesus. So only answer the things that I have requested that are in the name of Jesus. Essentially, right. I mean, basically what we're doing is we're submitting everything that we pray to the will of God. Now, maybe you've never thought about that before. I'm not saying you. I'm saying our listeners. Maybe you've never thought about that before, but you really need to think about that every one of your prayers must be submitted to the will of God. Mm. Because, of course, like when you say, not of course, I don't know, but when you say your will be done, like what are we talking about there, Jekyll? Are we talking about his sovereign will or his revealed will? And his revealed will, of course, is what we see in scripture, what he commands of us. His sovereign will is everything that's going to happen, which of course we don't know. What are we talking about there?
The answer is both.
Okay, how both though?
Well, I think like from a earthly local perspective, we're talking about his revealed will. But at the same time, because we don't know his sovereign secret will, but at the same time, we're kind of like acknowledging that we know that we don't know his secret will, and we want that to be done as well.
Yeah, I've always thought about it in the other way. Like, I'm totally with you there, but I think I kind of want to start with it as the sovereign will. Because, I mean, like, I there's many things I don't know what to pray for, mm-hmm. right? So in certain circumstances, I don't know whether to pray whether this happens or that happens, whereas other circumstances, I know for sure I should pray that this happens. So when it comes to the salvation of somebody, I know I should pray for that, mm-hmm. right? But when it comes to something else, like, for example, the weather.
Sure.
Right. Let's pray that it's sunny on Sunday, or let's pray that it's, you know, the weather, or all kinds of other things where it's like, I'm not sure whether I should pray for this or pray for mm-hmm. that, you know, pray for traffic to be lighter. I mean, I'm just thinking about all these things where it's like, should I pray this or should I pray that? And so when I say your will be done, I'm essentially saying that every single prayer I pray is submitted to the sovereign will of God, which mm-hmm. I don't know.
Right.
But then we're also praying that his revealed will is done. In other words, that he will help us to be obedient to him mm-hmm. and also his people. So I don't know. I mean, you're right. It's the sovereign will and the revealed will. How you work that out in your head in order, you know, that's kind of up to you.
Yeah, but I think if you're looking at it, that the position of your prayers is that you're submissive to the will of God. That's kind of the most important
thing. That it's all, you know, and I mean, as you well know, oftentimes I'll finish my prayer by thanking God that he will answer my prayers mm-hmm. in accordance with his sovereign will.
Yeah.
And that's it. So anyway, it's just focusing on the fact that God's will is going to be done in one respect. His sovereign will is going to be done.
Yeah.
And so we want it to be done. And his revealed will in many cases is and is not done. You know, what he commands, sometimes people obey it, sometimes it doesn't. So they don't. So there's just will to be done. And also for his kingdom to come. Mm-hmm. Which again, like that's gonna have a dual meaning, mm-hmm. right? So
a now and not yet.
So we want to see people bowing before the knee of Jesus and being transferred into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. and in that sense, his kingdom is coming. But also, we want Jesus to return
right.
and establish his kingdom here on earth. So I mean, again, that's an important thing to focus on in your prayer, is that you want to see people added to the kingdom of God and that you want to see Jesus return.
Mm-hmm.
So, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now we get into the third section of the prayer. After we've addressed God rightly, after we've focused our priority on God, then we get into what we pray for ourselves, starting with, give us today our daily bread.
When I was younger, it used to confuse me a little bit because I was just like, do we need to ask God for food every day?
I know, right?
but when I realized that Jesus was talking about provision here, he's talking about, this is a prayer for God to provide for our needs, which reminds us that he is the one who provides all of our needs. So even though, you know, we have to go to the grocery store and buy food, God is the one who provided that food ultimately, which is, you know, why we often say grace before praying to acknowledge that.
Don't you think that's also a bit of a reflection of the society in which we live, like the affluence mm-hmm. in which we live?
Well, yeah.
Like, you think about people who literally, I mean, have to pray that God will give them food because otherwise they don't have food. I mean, maybe they understand this whole petition much better than we do.
Probably.
I think we take way too much for granted, but you're right. Ultimately, it reminds us that everything we have is a gift from God. It's all a matter of his grace. And so, I mean, whether you live and have much or whether you live and have little, you know, in your prayers, you need to remember that God provides for our needs.
Mm-hmm.
He is the great provider. And then we've got after that, you know, give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just kind of want to point out one thing there. I mean, clearly we need Jesus to forgive us our sins, our debts, our transgressions, whatever translation you're used to. But notice there as it says, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting that it doesn't say as we forgive our debtors, which again is also an appropriate translation. But I think the ESV and some other translations have caught a particular nuance of that statement. In other words, it's like when we seek forgiveness from God, we also have to have forgiven others.
Frankly, that's a bit convicting, if you ask me.
It definitely is, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I mean, the reality is that if we don't forgive others, then we won't be forgiven. If we're not merciful, God is not going to be merciful to us. If we don't forgive others, then have we truly been forgiven? No, we don't understand forgiveness. We've not bowed the knee before Jesus. So you know, you've got your daily needs. You've got the issue of sin. Like, that's something very important, is confession.
Yes.
I know for me, I miss it way too much. Mm-hmm. I forget to confess my sins way too much and to repent of my sins in prayer way too much. And I just get right into, you know, praying for strength and praying for my family and praying for needs and these other things, which are all entirely appropriate things to pray.
Yeah.
But I really do think it's, I mean, well, obviously the Lord makes clear that we need to focus on seeking forgiveness for our sins. And then is the end of the prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, which some people are going, hold on, that's not the end, but we'll comment on that in 1 second. But lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that would be a focus on God helping us to live holy lives, right? Seeking, so not just to have our sins forgiven, but to seek to live a holy life, to pursue holiness in our lives.
Exactly. I mean, only God can help us resist temptation. If people are a little bit confused by that, thinking that it's like, wait, God doesn't tempt people. No, of course, God doesn't tempt people.
Yeah.
And God is the one who gives you the strength to resist temptation. And so we should pray for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. The focus there is on a holy life. Mm-hmm. And seeking to avoid sin, and God always provides a way out when we face temptation. So yeah. Now there's the end of the prayer. So we've got who prayer is to. We've got what prayer's priority is, namely on God, His name, His glory, His will, and then what we should pray for ourselves, so that God will provide for us, that God will forgive us of our sins, and that He'll enable us to live for His glory. Mm-hmm. And then the end, you know, which goes. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Which is in some translations and not in other translations. Personally, I don't think it was there. Also, personally, I have no problem with us praying it. I probably think we should pray it. It's an excellent way to end your prayer. And I strongly encourage you to end your prayers in that way. It basically ends the prayer the way it started, right? Focusing on God's kingdom and His glory. And again, focus on what prayer's priority is to be. But the reality is that it's not in all of the manuscripts. And so some of the translations will include it, and some of the translations will put a little footnote in it to tell you that it's not in all the manuscripts. So there you have it. That's the Lord's Prayer.
That's the Lord's Prayer.
Focus on who you're praying to. Consider what the priorities of your prayer are, and then consider what you should pray for yourself and for others. So hopefully it's been helpful. Next week we're going to be talking about the Psalms, which is an entirely appropriate thing to go to next after talking about prayer and the Lord's Prayer in particular. And until then, where can people find us?
Whoa, that's good. I thought you were going to go into our outro a little too soon there. until then, people can find us on the interwebs, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, our website.
Pick it up a little. I mean, this is sounding pretty sad and pathetic.
You add some cheer to your voice?
Come on, let's go.
They can also email us anytime at Jaquel or Sean at agentminority.com. You can also leave us a comment on our website.
Please,
we'd just be tickled pink if you went over to iTunes and left us an honest 5-star rating and review. Nothing less, please. Thank you so much.
That's what I like to hear, Jaquel. Until next week.
This has been Age of Minority.